You're listening to the Stone Church Podcast. This message was recorded live at our Davenport campus.
Are you King of the Jews? That's the question Pilate, the governor, he asked Jesus. Pilate had seen kings before. Rome had dealt with them all. Rebel kings, rival kings, small kings who tried to rise up and were quickly crushed. That's how the world works. Power rises, power fights, and power falls. Leaders come and go. Kingdoms rise and fall. Promises get made and broken. So when Pilate looks at Jesus, he's trying to figure him out. Because standing in front of him is a man with no army, no throne, and no visible power. And yet he's being called a king. Are you King of the Jews? And Jesus answered, are you asking this on your own, or have others told you about me? So Pilate asks plainly, what have you done? And Jesus answers in a way that completely reframes everything about kingdoms. Pilate only knows one kind of kingdom. Pilate knows power, control, force. That's the kingdom that Pilate knows. That's how Rome rules. That's how the world works. But Jesus begins to reveal something completely different. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. You are a king then? Pilate asked. You say that I'm a king, Jesus replied. I was born for this, and I've come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate's looking at Jesus, and all he can see is weakness. But what he doesn't realize is this. He's standing in front of a king, but not like any other king he's seen before. There's a different kind of king, a king whose kingdom doesn't rise and fall. It's a king whose rule can't be overthrown, a king who doesn't conquer by force, but by truth. A king who doesn't take life, but gives his life. And 3 days later, proves that even death itself is not the end of his reign. Standing before Pilate is a king of an everlasting kingdom. Jesus claims that his kingdom is not of this world and that he testifies to the truth. To Pilate, even to us, it can seem like Jesus isn't answering the question. Pilate's trying to figure out what kind of king is this? What kind of kingdom is he claiming? But Pilate's looking at everything from a very practical lens, a very immediate lens. Earthly kingdoms rise and fall. Power is taken, it's held, and then it's lost. History tells us that even Pilate himself would later fall victim to the same system, lose favor with Rome, and ultimately lose his life. So Pilate is perplexed because Jesus' answer doesn't fit any category that he has. Pilate had come to Jerusalem for Passover. He's expecting unrest. He's watching for anyone who might try to challenge Rome's authority, to overthrow them. So when Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world, Pilate doesn't have a frame of reference for it. But here's what Jesus is doing. He's not avoiding the question. He's lifting the conversation to a completely different level. Jesus is revealing that there is more happening than what Pilate can see. Jesus is pointing to a reality that had already been spoken of long ago, been spoken of by the prophets Isaiah and Daniel. Isaiah would say, talking about this king, that the dominion will be vast and his prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. Daniel would say it this way. He'd say, he has given dominion and glory and a kingdom so that those of every people, nation, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. This kingdom, his kingdom, was never going to be like Rome. It's a different kind of kingdom. It's a different kind of kingdom with a different kind of king. One that represents so much of what the people actually needed. John, one of Jesus' followers and one of his closest friends, captures many of the qualities of this king and the kingdom. Jesus himself would say, I am the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the resurrection and the life. He'd say, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the true vine. These aren't just statements. They're claims of a king revealing his kingdom. And now Jesus stands before Pilate. And Pilate, he finds no reason to charge him. He actually wants to release him. But the crowds, they cry out, crucify him. And here's the tension. A man with no army, no political power, no throne, claims an everlasting kingdom. Jesus tells Pilate, you would have no authority over me at all if it hadn't been given you from above. Pilate is standing there and he thinks he has the power and authority, but he's standing in front of the one who gave it to him. And then Rome does what Rome does. Pilate washes his hands. The king is mocked, beaten, stripped, and then crucified. And in this moment, it looks like Jesus has been defeated. The Passover lamb has died, and it feels like the end. And Pilate's question, are you king of the Jews? Looks like it's been answered. Another defeated king. Another failed moment. Another name added to history's list. But there's other words that after that, Pilate's question, are you king of the Jews? It seems like it's finished, and Jesus says it is finished. To Pilate, the king of the Jews has failed. To the priests who've betrayed Jesus, it meant they won. To the disciples, it meant the end. But what looked like defeat wasn't the end. It was the moment everything changed. We're told about this in this first Easter Sunday morning, Mary. She goes to the grave expecting to find a body. But instead, she encounters someone. She encounters a king. Not a defeated king, not a distant king, not a dead king, but a risen king. She encounters a different kind of king. She encounters an everlasting king. John takes us, he takes us from a courtroom, and then he moves us to a garden. From Pilate standing face to face with Jesus, trying to figure him out, to Mary standing outside a tomb, overwhelmed with grief. In chapter 20 of John's gospel, he takes careful detail to describe what happens. He tells us that it's early in the morning and Mary goes to see Jesus' grave. It's dark outside and Mary is still carrying the darkness of Friday. Everything feels finished. She's confused about all that's gone on. How could Jesus be her Lord and then have died? And she makes her way to the tomb in darkness. She comes there, she comes to the tomb, and the stone is rolled away. Mary runs to tell Peter and John that Jesus' body has been taken, and the disciples race back to see what's happened. John gets there first, and he waits, and Peter goes inside the tomb to investigate. They find the grave clothes still in the form of Jesus' body. The wrapping around Jesus' head, it's folded up and it's separate. And then John goes in and he sees for himself. He sees those clothes lying there. It's as if Jesus' body has passed right through them. And then the disciples leave. But Mary stays. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she was crying, she stopped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they've put him." Mary goes to visit the tomb and finds the body of Jesus missing. She desperately wants to see Jesus. She goes there. Think of this. In the morning, Mary, what are you going to do? How are you going to see Jesus? She doesn't know what she's going to do. She just wants to be around Jesus. Where have they taken them? She desperately wants to see him. Then having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're seeking?" And supposing he was a gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll take him away." She initially thinks somebody has taken the body. And she asks the one, she assumes he's the gardener, "Tell me where you've put him." She sees a man, but she doesn't recognize him. She's this close, but she doesn't yet see who's in front of her. This is my favorite part. Something incredible happens. Jesus said to her, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. The mere mention of her name, everything changes. The mere mention of Mary's name, her eyes are open in this moment. Mary sees what she's been searching for. She's gone in the dark in the morning with Friday hanging over her. There's this darkness. She just wants to be near Jesus. "Tell me where you've put him. Tell me where you've taken the body," and then Mary. And in that moment, she moves from searching to seeing. From examining to encountering. At the sound of his voice, her eyes are open. And in that moment, Mary encounters the bread of life. She encounters the light of the world. She encounters the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, the true vine, the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection, and the life. Mary encounters her everlasting King. She goes to a grave and encounters the King. She encounters the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. She encounters the everlasting King Jesus. The apparent defeat of Friday, it looks like everything is lost. Now it's seen for what it truly was, that Jesus has won the victory. It's seen that there's a new exodus, an exodus from slavery to sin to freedom in Christ. Jesus' resurrection is God's declaration that Jesus is the everlasting King. The King they crucified is the King who reigns. This Easter Sunday morning, it's God's yes to everything Jesus claimed. It's God's validation that the suffering of Friday has secured the victory. At the mere mention of her name, Mary's eyes are opened and she sees Jesus, her Lord, the everlasting King, and Mary clings to him. Think of this. Only a select few could get an audience with a king. An earthly king, there's protocol, there's distance, access has to be granted, there's etiquette that you have to. And Mary clings to the everlasting King. So we have this contrast between Pilate and Mary, and it's very striking. Pilate examines the everlasting King, and he misses him. Mary's just desperate to be around him, and she encounters the everlasting King and knows him. What's even more incredible is he knows her. There's Pilate, a man who's desperate for power. He's desperate for authority, and he can't recognize the one who has been given all power and all authority. Mary's simply coming to honor Jesus, and she finds herself in the presence of the risen King. And the question is no longer, who is Jesus? Really, is the question is, will you recognize him? Will you move from examining to encountering? Will you encounter the everlasting King? John tells us why he's written his gospel. He says, but these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. He's telling us this so we can encounter the everlasting King and have life in his name. Not just that we would understand, but that we would be moved to believing in him. Not that we would just examine Jesus, but so that we would encounter him. So Pilate stood face to face with Jesus and missed him. His perspective was limited. It was temporary. He couldn't see who was right in front of him. And Mary comes in sorrow and confusion and encountered him. One analyzed and one encountered. Truth is, today, the same King, this different kind of King, stands before each one of us and asks us if we will encounter the everlasting King. Scripture tells us that even at the cross, a centurion stood watching Jesus. At first, it's just another execution, just another man dying, but something changed for this centurion. And he moved from examining to declaring truly this man was the Son of God. And over and over and over again, people move from distance to encounter. And today, each one of us can too. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, to encounter the everlasting King, this is your moment. It's not to understand everything, not to have every question answered, but to respond, to surrender, to trust, to follow. And it's simple as praying. There's a prayer that we put on the screen and we simply say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you today. I believe that you died on the cross to pay the price for my sins. I believe that you were raised to life again by the Spirit of God. I admit I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I'm inviting you to be mine right now. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. Lead me as my Lord. I choose you as my King. Amen. And if that's you and you haven't encountered Jesus, that's a prayer that you can pray. And we want to come alongside you and support you, but that moves you from examining to encountering. Pastor Kate's going to come, and the worship team in a moment is going to lead us in a worship song as we respond. But we want to tell you ways about how you can move from examining to encountering. We have something called Grow Night. It's a way to examine and then move to encountering Jesus. It's going to be happening here on the 21st of April. You can sign up online, mystone.ca/connect and mystone.ca/events, and you can come and you can encounter Jesus. This is a way that people will come alongside you. Because we know that examining Jesus isn't a bad thing. But if you're like Pilate and you just examine, and the examining is the end unto itself, you'll miss him. The centurion moved from examining to encountering. You think Mary just had this wonderful encounter with her king. So we each can encounter the everlasting king. For all of us, it doesn't stop here. We don't just encounter him once. We continue to encounter him. Every moment of every day, we have an opportunity to encounter the bread of life, the light of the world, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, the true vine, the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection and the life. We have this opportunity to encounter the everlasting King. We can live in the reality of Easter Sunday. We can continue to experience the freedom that was won because of Christ's death on the cross. Because Jesus said, "It is finished." Jesus has revealed the Father. That's finished. Jesus has completed the work. The victory has been won. It is finished. Mary comes in the darkness of Sunday morning. She encounters the everlasting King. Everything changes for her. She encounters the truth that it is finished. Because it's finished, Jesus is reigning. He's risen and he is reigning. And today we can encounter him. We have this opportunity once again to encounter the everlasting King, the risen Jesus. Sunday morning, what's beautiful is there's so many things, but that personal call of Mary. And she goes from searching to seeing. Just tell me where he is. And she encounters who her heart was desperately looking for. You can encounter the everlasting King this morning. So the team is going to lead us in a song, and we're going to offer you an opportunity to do just that. We're going to invite the prayer partners, and they're going to come to the front. And they have this resource. It's a You Said Yes. And there's this resource that we'd like to give to you. And if you've said, you know what, Pastor Austin, that prayer that you've mentioned, come and speak to one of our prayer partners. They'd like to lead you through that prayer so that you can encounter your everlasting King. And then they want to give you this resource to help you in your journey so you can continue to encounter Him. It could be then coming on a Tuesday to Grow Night so that you can continue to examine and move to encountering. But there also might be some of you in you might identify with Mary. In the darkness of Sunday morning, you feel yourself just, I'm just trying to get close to Jesus, but it looks pretty dark. You can encounter the risen, everlasting King, and everything changes. It's incredible. So this morning we'll respond by encountering the King. So would you stand with me as we sing?
We hope this message has empowered and encouraged you in your faith journey. For more information about Stone Church, go to stonechurch.ca.